British Sky Broadcasting presents The Breakfast Club, starring Emilio Estevez as Andrew Clark, Anthony Michael Hall as Brian Johnson, Judd Nelson as John Bender, Molly Ringwald as Claire Standish, and Ali Sheedy as Alison Reynolds. Written and directed by John Hughes, audio described by Liam McLaughlin on behalf of MCS Agency.
Troubles and doubts, giving me everything inside and out. And love strange, surreal in the dark. Think of the tender things that we were working on. Slow change may pull us apart. When the light gets in your heart, baby, don't you forget about me. You stand above me, look my way, but
a quote from David Bowie. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through. An ugly grey concrete building. Above the entrance, the words Shermer High School.
Saturday, March 24th, 1984. Shermer High School, Shermer, Illinois. 60062.
A clock reads 4 minutes to seven. The school appears to be completely empty.
Dear Mr. Vernon, we accept the fact that we had to sacrifice a whole Saturday in detention for whatever it was we did wrong. And what we did was wrong. But we think you're crazy to make us write an essay telling you who we think we are. What do you care? When you see us as you want to see us. In the simplest terms, the most convenient definitions. You see us as a brain, an athlete, a basket case, a princess, and a criminal. Correct? That's the way we saw each other at 7 o'clock this morning. We were brainwashed.
Inside a large silver car, a pretty redhead girl is sitting with her father.
I can't believe you can't get me out of this. It's so absurd I have to be here on a Saturday. It's not like I'm a defective or anything.
I'll make it up to you.
Honey, ditching class to go shopping doesn't make you a defective. Have a good day.
The girl rolls her eyes, then exits the car stroppily. Next, another car.
Is this the first time or the last time we do this?
Last.
Well, get in there and use the time to your advantage.
Mom, we're not supposed to study. We just have to sit there and do nothing.
Well, mister, you figure out a way to study.
Yeah.
The boy looks at his little sister.
Well, go!
The boy gets out of the car. Now, inside a third car.
Hey, I screwed around. Guys screw around. There's nothing wrong with that. Except you got caught, sport.
Yeah, Mom already rang me, all right?
You want to miss a match? You want to blow your ride? I know school is going to give a scholarship to a discipline case.
The boy looks angrily at his father, then exits the car. The car pulls away to reveal another boy approaching with a long grey coat, ankle boots, and sunglasses. Yet another car pulls up and stops just short of him as he strides nonchalantly across the road. A girl in black exits the car, which pulls away rudely as she tries to catch the driver's attention. The school library. Rows of chairs and desks are set out in the middle of the room, while a large metal statue stands just behind them. Bookshelves are positioned along the sides of the walls. A boy in a blue jacket sits next to the girl with the short red hair. The boy with the long grey coat enters and casually tampers with various objects positioned along the reception desk. He removes his sunglasses and regards the other two contemptuously. He waves a skinny boy away from a seat and takes it for himself and puts his feet up. The girl in black enters fretfully and sits right at the back while everyone else watches. The boy in blue turns to the red-haired girl and laughs. A man in a grey suit with a black shirt enters arrogantly.
Well, well, here we are. I want to congratulate you for being on time.
Excuse me, sir. I think there's been a mistake. I know it's detention, but, I don't think I belong in here.
It is now 7:06. You have exactly 8 hours and 54 minutes to think about why you're here. To ponder the error of your ways. And you may not talk. You will not move from these seats. And you will not sleep.
He pulls the chair from under the boy with the gray coat's legs, then shuffles some papers in his hands.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today. We are going to write an essay of no less than 1,000 words. Describing to me who you think you are.
This is a test?
And when I say essay, I mean essay. I do not mean a single word repeated 1,000 times. Is that clear, Mr. Bender?
Crystal.
Good. Maybe you'll learn a little something about yourself. Maybe you'll even decide whether or not you care to return.
Yeah, you know, I can answer that right now, sir. You know, that'd be no for me, because...
Sit down, Johnson.
Thank you, sir.
The thin boy sits again.
My office is right across that hall. Any monkey business is ill-advised. Any questions?
The boy in the blue jacket shakes his head.
Yeah, I got a question. Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
I'll give you the answer to that question, Mr. Bender, next Saturday. Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
He strides out.
That man is a brownie hound.
Johnson looks worried. The boy in the blue coat unbuttons it. Everyone appears restless and uneasy. They all turn with disgust to see the girl in black shamelessly biting her nails. She continues, oblivious, notices them all, gawping at her with revulsion, then continues to bite her nails regardless.
Keep eating your hand, you're not going to be hungry for lunch.
She spits a nail at Bender.
I've seen you before, you know.
From his office, the teacher leans back to see what's happening. The girl in black looks away huffily.
Who do I think I am? Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Lois.
Bender looks at Johnson, who has his pen clipped onto his lip, sticking up his nostril. Johnson finally notices he's being watched. Bender takes off his scarf threateningly. Johnson removes the pen embarrassedly and looks down. Bender begins to remove his jacket, while Johnson unwittingly does the same. They notice this simultaneous movement, and Johnson leaves his coat on apologetically. Bender then stares at Johnson disdainfully.
The shit, huh?
Bender continues meanly to stare, then finally looks away. He screws up a bit of paper and throws it between the boy in blue and the red-headed girl who is sitting directly in front of him. They ignore him.
No, 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 no.
Bender is singing annoyingly.
What are we supposed to do if we have to take a piss?
Please.
You gotta go. You gotta go.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you're not urinating in here, man.
Don't talk. Don't talk. It makes it crawl back up.
You whip it out and you're dead before the first drop hits the floor.
You're pretty sexy when you get angry.
Hey, homeboy.
Why don't you go close that door? We'll get the prom queen impregnated.
Hey. Hey.
What?
If I lose my temper, you're totaled, man.
Totally?
Totally.
Why don't you just shut up? Nobody here is interested.
Really? Butt face.
Well, hey, Sporto, what'd you do to get in here? Forget to wash your jock?
Excuse me, fellas, I think we should just run our papers.
Look, just because you live in here doesn't give you the right to be a pain in the ass, so knock it off!
It's a free country.
He's just doing it to get a rise out of you. Just ignore him.
Sweet.
The redhead girl turns to him.
You couldn't ignore me if you tried. So, are you guys like boyfriend, girlfriend? Steady dates? Lovers? Come on, Sporto. Level with me. Do you slip her the hot beef injection?
Go to hell!
Enough!
Hey, what's going on in there? Spoiler pricks.
Everyone looks at Bender with shock and contempt.
Scumbag.
Bender gets from his seat.
What do you say we close that door? We can't have any kind of party with Vernon checking us out every few seconds.
Well, you know the doors are supposed to stay open.
So what?
So why don't you just shut up? There's four other people in here, you know.
God, you can count. See, I knew you had to be smart to be a wrestler.
Who the hell are you to judge anybody anyway?
Really?
You know, Bender, you don't even count. I mean, if you disappear forever, it wouldn't make any difference. You may as well not even exist at this school.
Well, I'll just run right out and join the wrestling team. Maybe the prep club, too. Student council.
Nah, they wouldn't take you.
I'm hurt.
You know why guys like you knock everything?
Oh, this should be stunning.
It's because you're afraid.
Oh, God, you Richies are so smart. That's exactly why I'm not heavy in activities.
You're a big coward.
I'm in a math club.
See, you're afraid that they won't take you. You don't belong, so you just have to dump all over it.
Well, wouldn't have anything to do with you activities people being assholes now, would it?
Well, you would know. You don't even know any of us.
Well, I don't know any lepers either, but I'm not going to run out and join one of their fucking clubs.
So let's watch the mouth, huh?
I'm in the physics club, too.
Excuse me a sec. What are you babbling about?
Well, what I'd said was that I'm in a math club, the Latin club, and the physics club. Physics club.
Bender stares at the redhead.
Hey. Jerry. Do you belong to the physics club?
That's an academic club.
So?
So academic clubs aren't the same as other kinds of clubs.
Ah, but the dorks like him, they are. What do you guys do in your club?
In physics, well, we talk about physics, properties of physics.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
Yeah, well, I guess you could consider it a social situation. I mean, there are other children in my club. And at the end of the year, we have, you know, a big banquet at the Hilton.
You load up, you party.
Well, no, well, we get dressed up. I mean, but we don't get high.
Only burners like you get high.
And I didn't have any shoes, so I had to borrow my dad's. It was kind of weird because my mom doesn't like me to wear other people's shoes. And my cousin Kendall from Indiana, he got high once. And, you know, he started eating like really weird foods. And then he just felt like he didn't belong anywhere. You know, kind of like, you know, Twilight Zone kind of.
Sounds like you.
Look, you guys keep up your talking and Vernon's going to come right in here. I got to meet this Saturday. I'm not going to miss it on account of you boneheads.
Oh, and wouldn't that be a bite, huh? Whoa, missing a whole wrestling meet.
Well, you wouldn't know anything about it, faggot. You've never competed in your whole life.
Oh, I know. I feel all empty inside because of it. I have such a deep admiration for guys who roll around on the floor with other guys.
You'd never miss it. You don't have any goals.
Oh, but I do.
Yeah?
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
Johnson looks interested.
You wear tights?
No, I don't wear tights. I wear the required uniform.
Tights.
Shut up.
The girl in black is scribbling and grinning maniacally. The others notice the teacher leaving his room. Bender jumps into the seat in between the boy in blue and the red-headed girl and mockingly clasps his hands like a good student. The teacher walks off. Bender gets up excitedly.
You know, it's not supposed to be any monkey business.
Young man, have you finished your paper?
He surveys the corridor to check the teacher is gone, then begins to fiddle with the door.
Come on, Bender, don't screw around.
What are you gonna do?
Drop dead, I hope.
The teacher is drinking at a corridor water fountain, then checks his reflection.
Bender, that's school property there. I mean, that's, you know, it doesn't belong to us, and it's something not to be toyed with.
That's very funny. Come on, fix it.
You should really fix that.
Am I a genius?
No, you're an asshole.
What a funny guy.
Fix the door,
hey,
Bender.
Everyone just shh. Listen, I've been here before. I know what I'm doing.
No, fix the door. Get up there.
Shut up! Shut, damn it.
The teacher enters the library angrily.
Why is that door closed?
He approaches the blank-faced students.
Why is that door closed?
How are we supposed to know? We're not supposed to move, right?
Why?
We're just sitting here, like we're supposed to.
Vernon walks between the desks.
Who closed that door?
I think a screw fell out of it.
It just closed, sir.
Who?
She doesn't talk, sir.
Give me that screw.
I don't have it.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
Give it to me, Bender.
Excuse me, sir. Why would anybody want to steal a screw?
Watch it, young lady.
Vernon stalks off. The girl in black peeks out from behind her hood while Vernon struggles to fix the door.
The door's way too heavy, sir.
Vernon tries to hold it open with a chair, only for it to slam anyway. The students chuckle.
Andrew Clark! Get up here. Come on, front and center. Let's go.
Hey, how come Andrew gets to get up?
That's right.
If he gets up, we'll all get up. It'll be anarchy!
Okay, watch the magazines.
It's out of my hands.
Andrew and the teacher try to prop the door open again with a book rack.
That's very clever, sir. But what if there's a fire? I think violating fire codes and endangering the lives of children would be unwise at this juncture in your career, sir.
All right, what are you doing with this? What are you doing with? Get this out of here, for God's sake. What's the matter with you? Come on!
Well, you know the school comes equipped with fire exits at either end of the library. Show Dick some respect.
Let's go. Go, get back in your seat.
Vernon considers angrily.
I expected a little more from a varsity letterman.
Vernon's gaze moves from Andrew to Bender.
You're not fooling anybody, Bender. The next screw that falls out is going to be you.
Eat my shorts.
What was that?
Bender sits up.
Eat my shorts.
You just bought yourself another Saturday, mister.
Oh, I'm crushed.
You just bought one more right there.
Well, I'm free the Saturday after that. Beyond that, I'm going to have to check my calendar.
Good, because it's going to be filled. We'll keep going. You want another one? Say the word. Just say the word. Instead of going to prison, you'll come here. Are you through?
No.
I'm doing society a favor.
So?
That's another one right now. I've got you for the rest of your natural born life if you don't watch your step. You want another one?
Yes.
You got it. You got another one right there. That's another one, pal.
Cut it out.
The redhead mouths the word stop.
You through?
Not even close, bud.
Good. You got one more right there.
You really think I give a shit?
Another. You through?
How many is that?
That's seven, including the one when we first came in. You asked Mr. Vernon here whether Barry Manilow knew that he raided his closet.
Now it's eight. You stay out of it.
Excuse me, sir, it's seven.
Shut up, Pee-wee.
Vernon makes the horn sign with his hand threateningly to Bender.
You're mine, Bender. For 2 months, I got you. I got you.
What can I say? I'm thrilled.
Oh, I'm sure that's exactly what you want these people to believe. You know something, Bender? You ought to spend a little more time trying to do something with yourself and a little less time trying to impress people. You might be better off. Right, that's it. I'm going to be right outside those doors. The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
He leaves the library. The girl in black looks up, relieved. At the door, Vernon menacingly looks back one last time. Outside, Vernon composes himself and seems regretful. Back in the library, Bender seems stunned. The time is 7:45 a.m. Bender, with a cigarette in his mouth, sets fire to the sole of his shoe, then awkwardly lights his cigarette on it. The red-headed girl stares into space, while Johnson fiddles with the crotch of his trousers. Andrew pulls the drawstring rapidly in and out of his blue hoodie, and the girl in black ties thread around her forefinger until the tip goes purple. She pokes the tip to see if it still has feeling. Bender, smoking his cigarette, plays air guitar. The girl in black is now drawing a detailed picture of a countryside scene. Andrew flicks a paper football, then silently cheers and stops as if realizing how silly it looks. The girl in black ruffles her hair over her picture to produce dandruff, which makes it look like the picture is snowing. She appears proud. Everyone then appears tired and bored, and they all languidly rest their heads on the desks with heavy eyes. Vernon appears.
Wake up!
Nobody moves.
Who has to go to the lavatory?
Everyone's hand shoots up. It is now 10:22 a.m. Andrew is athletically stretching his leg on a banister while Bender is tearing a book apart. He tosses the page away. One of the torn pages lands on the red-headed girl's desk.
That's real intelligent.
You're right. It's wrong to destroy literature. It's such fun to read. And Mollet really pumps my nads.
Molière.
Bender stops. The red-headed girl smiles smugly.
I love his work.
Bender hurls a chunk of the book at Johnson, who ducks behind a pillar to avoid it. Bender looks at the book's remnants, then puts it down.
Big deal. Nothing to do when you're locked in a vacancy.
Speak for yourself.
Do you think I'd speak for you? I don't even know your language.
Andrew ignores Bender and turns to face the red-headed girl.
Hey, you grounded tonight?
I don't know. My mom said I was, but my dad told me just to blow her off.
Andrew turns briefly to Bender, challengingly. Bender looks back.
It's a big party at Stubby's. Parents are in Europe. Should be pretty wild.
Yeah?
Yeah, you gonna go?
I doubt it.
How come?
Well, because if I do what my mother tells me not to do, it's because my father says it's okay. It's like this whole big monster deal. It's endless and it's a total drag. It's like any minute, divorce.
Who do you like better?
What?
You like your old man better than your mom?
They're both screwed.
No, I mean, if you had to choose between them.
I don't know. Probably go live with my brother. I mean, I don't think either one of them gives a shit about me. It's like they use me just to get back at each other.
Ha!
Everyone turns with surprise to look at the girl in black. Andrew smiles. She nonchalantly shrugs.
Shut up!
You're just feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, well, if I didn't, nobody else would.
Oh, you're breaking my heart.
Sporto?
What?
You get along with your parents?
Well, if I say yes, I'm an idiot, right?
You're an idiot anyway. But if you say you get along with your parents, well, you're a liar too.
Bender walks away. Andrew considers, then follows him and pushes him aggressively on the back.
You know something, man? If we weren't in school right now, I'd waste you.
Can you hear this?
His hand.
You want me to turn it up?
Slowly, Bender gives him the finger.
Hey, fellas, let me...
They both shrug Johnson off.
I don't like my parents either. I mean, I don't get along with them. I mean, their idea of, you know, parental compassion is just, you know, wacko, you know?
Dork.
Yeah?
You are a parent's wet dream, okay?
Well, that's the problem.
Look, I could see you getting all bunged up for them making you wear these kind of clothes. But face it, you're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby. What would you be doing if you weren't out making yourself a better citizen?
Why do you have to insult everybody?
I'm being honest, asshole. I would expect you to know the difference.
Yeah, well, he's got a name.
Yeah?
Yeah. What's your name?
Brian.
See?
My condolences.
Bender walks away.
What's your name?
Bender stops in front of the redhead.
What's yours?
Claire.
Claire?
Claire, it's a family name.
Oh, it's a fat girl's name.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not fat.
Well, not at present, but I could see you really pushing maximum density. You see, I'm not sure if you know this, but there are two kinds of fat people. There's fat people that were born to be fat, and there's fat people that were once thin, but they became fat. So when you look at them, you can sort of see that thin person inside. You see, you're going to get married. You're going to squeeze out a few puppies, and then... Oh, obscene finger gestures from such a pristine girl.
I'm not that pristine.
Bender gravely leans towards her.
Are you a virgin? I'll bet you $1 million that you are. Let's end the suspense. Is it gonna be a white wedding?
Why don't you just shut up?
Have you ever kissed a boy on the mouth?
Claire looks rattled.
Have you ever been felt up? Over the bra? Under the blouse? Shoes off? Hoping to God your parents don't walk in?
Do you want me to puke?
Over the panties? No bra. While some buttoned. Calvin's in a ball on the front seat past 11 on a school night.
Leave her alone.
Bender holds Claire's gaze menacingly. She stares back, dumbstruck. Andrew gets up.
I said leave her alone.
Bender finally looks up.
You gonna make me?
Yeah.
Bender steps over the desks to get to Andrew, and they square up.
You and how many are your friends?
Just me. Just you and me. Two hits. Me hitting you, you hitting the floor. Anytime you're ready, pal.
Bender tries to touch Andrew, but Andrew gets him into a double arm lock and wrestles him to the floor.
I don't want to get into this with you, man. Why not?
Because I'd kill you.
Bender steps backwards.
It's real simple. I'd kill you, and your fucking parents would sue me, and it'd be a big mess, and I don't care enough about you to bother.
Chicken shit.
Bender cavalierly produces a flick knife, and Andrew turns in shock. Bender brandishes it casually with one hand in his pocket. He stares at Andrew, then stabs it into a chair.
Let's end this right now. You don't talk to her. You don't look at her. And you don't even think about her. You understand me?
I'm trying to help her.
Claire looks on silently. A janitor with a grey-blue uniform pushes the door open and enters the library with his trolley of mops, toilet roll, and cleaning fluids. He pushes it along with one hand, enters a small office, and picks up the bin there.
Brian, how you doing?
Brian looks embarrassed.
Your dad work here?
The janitor puts the bin back while Brian shakes his head. Bender addresses the janitor.
Carl?
What?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How does one become a janitor?
You want to be a janitor?
No, I just want to know how one becomes a janitor, because Andrew here is very interested in pursuing a career in the custodial arts.
Oh, really? You guys think I'm just some untouchable peasant, serf, peon, you know? Maybe so. But following a broom around after shitheads like you for the last 8 years, I've learned a couple of things. I looked through your letters, looked through your lockers. I listened to your conversations. You don't know that, but I do. I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends.
He checks his watch.
By the way, that clock's 20 minutes fast.
Bender smiles admiringly whilst the others check the clock.
Shit.
It is now 11:30 a.m. Vernon wearily gets out of his chair. Bender, with his scarf wrapped around his head, is whistling. Brian joins in. Andrew and Claire also join in. Brian taps his foot along enthusiastically. The girl in black joins in reticently. Then Vernon enters. Bender continues whistling.
All right, girls. That's 30 minutes for lunch.
Here?
Here.
Well, I think the cafeteria would be a more suitable place for us to eat lunch in, sir.
Well, I don't care what you think, Andrew.
Dick. Excuse me. Rich. Will milk be made available to us?
We're extremely thirsty, sir.
I have a really low tolerance for dehydration.
I've seen her dehydrate, sir. It's pretty gross.
Relax. I'll get it.
Grab some wood there, bub. What do you think, I was born yesterday? You think I'm gonna have you roaming these halls? You.
Andrew nods. Vernon looks around, and Andrew covertly points to Claire. She straightens up.
And you.
Vernon picks the girl in black.
Hey! What's her name? Wake her, wake her up! Hey! Come on your feet, Missy, let's go! This is no rest home. There's a soft drink machine in the teacher's lounge. Let's go!
Andrew walks ahead of the girl in black through the corridors.
So, what's your poison?
He turns to her.
What do you drink?
She regards him through her long fringe.
Okay, forget I asked.
Vodka.
He turns again.
Vodka. When do you drink vodka?
Whenever.
She walks ahead haughtily.
A lot?
Tons.
Is that why you're here today? Why are you here?
Why are you here?
He slowly leans up against the wall.
I'm here today because my coach and my father don't want me to blow my ride. So I get treated differently because coach thinks I'm a winner. So does my old man. I'm not a winner because I want to be one. I'm a winner because I got strength and speed, kind of like a racehorse. It's about how involved I am in what's happening to me.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
Andrew nods uncomfortably.
Now, why don't you tell me why you're really in here?
Forget it.
Back in the library, Bender stares at Claire, who is leaning against the statue looking bored.
Claire? You want to see a picture of a guy with elephantitis of the nuts? It's pretty tasty.
No, thank you.
How do you think he rides a bike?
She looks at him witheringly.
Oh, Claire, would you ever consider dating a guy like this?
Can't you just leave me alone?
I mean, if he had a great personality, was a good dancer, and had a cool car. Although you'd probably have to ride in the back seat because his nuts would ride shotgun.
She leans her head wearily against the statue.
You don't know what she was doing.
Well, watch what you say. Brian here is a cherry. A cherry?
She was in a plane. To France.
I'm not a cherry. When have you ever gotten laid?
I've laid lots of times.
Name one.
She lives in Canada. Met her at Niagara Falls. You wouldn't know her.
Ever laid anyone around here? Oh, you and Claire did it.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Let's just drop it, okay? We'll talk about it later.
No, drop what? What are you talking about?
Well, Brian's trying to tell me that in addition to the number of girls in the Niagara Falls area, that presently you and he are riding the hobby horse.
Little pig.
No, I'm not. John said I was a cherry and I said I wasn't. That's it. That's all was said.
Well, then what were you motioning to Claire for?
You know, I didn't appreciate this very much, Brian.
He is lying.
Oh, you weren't motioning to Claire?
You know he's lying, right?
Were you or were you not motioning to Claire?
Yeah, but it was only because I didn't want to know I was a virgin, okay? Excuse me for being a virgin, I'm sorry.
Why didn't you let me know you were a virgin?
Because it's personal business. It's my personal private business.
Well, Brian, it doesn't sound like you're doing any business.
I think it's okay for a guy to be a virgin.
You do?
She considers, then smiles at Brian reassuringly. Brian slowly smiles to himself. Next, everyone is having lunch in the library.
What's in there?
Cass, where's your lunch?
You're wearing it.
You're nauseating.
Bender grabs a Coke, then hurls it over his shoulder. The girl in black catches it without looking. Claire reveals her lunch, a small black box of food. She begins to fill a small dish with dark sauce.
What's that?
Sushi.
Sushi?
Rice, raw fish, and seaweed.
Bender looks confused.
You won't accept a guy's tongue in your mouth and you're gonna eat that?
Can I eat?
I don't know. Give it a try.
She turns away. Bender then watches with curiosity as Andrew exaggeratedly takes out three sandwiches, a packet of cookies, and a carton of milk from a brown paper bag. The bag appears to be empty, but then he also produces a banana and an apple from it. He pulls his chair up eagerly to eat. The girl in black opens her can of Coke, which froths up over the table. She sips up the froth from the lid, then, to Brian's shock, from the table as well. Meanwhile, Andrew notices Bender staring.
What's your problem?
The girl in black then looks inside her sandwiches and disgustedly throws some meat away, which hits the statue. She expertly opens some packets of sherbet, which she pours all over the bread. Brian begins to watch. She then takes a sip of Coke and pours on more sherbet to coat the bread thickly. Next, she puts the empty sherbet packets into her Coke like straws. Brian watches with horrified curiosity. She then crushes up some crisps messily directly into the bread. Everyone turns to watch, revolted. She notices, then takes a massive bite from the sandwich, as if to prove a point. Everyone turns away queasily. Bender grabs Brian's lunch bag and sits beside him.
What are we having?
It's just your standard regular lunch, I guess.
Bender pulls out a thermos from Brian's lunch bag.
Milk?
Soup.
He raids the bag again and slaps Brian's hand when he tries to gingerly retrieve it. He produces a carton.
That's apple juice.
I can read. PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch. All the food groups are represented. Did your mom marry Mr. Rogers?
No, Mr. Johnson.
Huh. Here's my impression of life at Big Bri's house.
He struts as if on a stage.
Son? Yeah, Dad? How's your day, pal? Great, Dad. How's yours? Super. Say, son, how'd you like to go fishing this weekend? Great, Dad. But I've got homework to do. That's all right, son. You can do it on the boat. Gee. Dear, isn't our son swell? Yes, dear. Isn't life swell? Oh. Oh.
He looks at Brian. Brian looks away slowly, clearly hurt. Andrew looks on staunchly.
All right. What about your family?
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
It's real easy.
Bender again marches towards his stage. He gets into character.
Stupid, worthless, no good goddamn freeloading son of a bitch, retarded, big mouth, know-it-all asshole jerk.
You forgot ugly, lazy, and disrespectful. Shut up, bitch! Go fix me turkey pot pie. What about you, Dad?
Fuck you.
No, Dad. What about you?
Fuck you! No, Dad! What about you? Fuck you!
Is that for real?
You want to come over sometime?
That's bullshit. It's all part of your image. I don't believe a word of it.
You don't believe me?
No.
No?
Did I stutter?
Bender menacingly strides towards Andrew and stops in front of his desk, then pulls up his left sleeve to reveal a burn.
You believe this? Huh?
It's about the size of a cigar.
Do I stutter?
See, this is what you get in my house when you spill paint in the garage.
See, I don't think that I need to sit with you fucking dildos anymore.
He walks away in a rage, then sweeps some books off a display cabinet. He then climbs up to the top level of the library and sits with distress on the staircase. The others look at each other in shock.
Said that.
Well, how did I know? I mean, he lies about everything anyway.
Vernon is eating a segment of orange in his office. He holds it in his mouth while he tries to pour a cup of coffee, only for it to spill all over his sandwiches and desk. With the orange still in his mouth, he sighs with exasperation. As Vernon walks off to clean up, Bender approaches from the library door. Vernon goes into the bathrooms, and Bender, followed by the others, strolls down a corridor.
How do you know where Vernon went?
I don't.
Well, then how do you know when he'll be back?
I don't. Being bad feels pretty good, huh?
What's the point of going to Bender's locker?
Beats me.
This is so stupid. Why are we risking getting caught?
I don't know.
So then what are we doing?
You ask me one more question and I'm beating the shit out of you.
Inside Bender's locker, a guillotine falls when he opens it. He rummages about inside it.
What's up, slob?
My maid's on vacation.
He finds a brown paper bag, then looks inside it to find another, which he unwraps. Inside is a baggie of weed.
Drugs.
Screw that, Bender. Put it back.
Drugs. Boy has marijuana. That was marijuana.
Shut up, Dink.
Do you approve of this?
Brian walks off in disbelief while the girl in black furtively pockets an unfastened lock from another locker, then follows Brian.
We'll cross through the lab and then we'll double back.
You better be right. If Vernon cuts us off, it's your fault, asshole.
What do you say? Where are we going?
The group walk off, only to see Vernon walking away from them down the corridor. They look with surprise, then all run in another direction. Vernon is still strutting down the corridors as the kids are trying to evade him. They appear at the top of a corridor, see Vernon, then slip comically on the polished floor to run away in the opposite direction. They continue to run while Vernon obliviously wanders the corridors and casually has a drink of water from a fountain. The kids escape down a staircase just as Vernon appears in the corridor which it is attached to.
Wait, hold it. We have to go through the cafeteria.
No, the activities hall.
Hey, man, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, we're through listening to you. We're going this way. You go where you want, mother. Come on!
Claire and Brian run after Andrew, while the girl in black looks at Bender apologetically, then runs off with them. He follows. The kids hit a railed-off dead end as Vernon continues to strut around the corridors aimlessly.
Great idea, Jagger.
Fuck you!
Fuck you! Why'd you listen to John?
We're dead.
No. Just me.
What do you mean?
Get back to the library, Keith. You're doing it on
me. I wanna be an answer!
Bender runs off to distract Vernon.
That son of a bitch.
Before the day I die, here's five things I want to ride. Bicycle, automobile.
Vernon follows the noises intently while Bender runs down the corridors, ripping posters off the walls as he goes. Out of breath, Vernon approaches the gym where Bender is noisily playing basketball. Bender bounces the ball.
Out! That's it, Bender. Out! It's over.
Don't anyone hear my excuse?
Out!
I think I'm trying out for a scholarship.
Give me the ball, Bender. Give me that ball.
Bender feigns a throw, which makes Vernon flinch. He does it again, then rolls the ball to him lightly. Vernon kicks it away angrily, and Bender picks up his bag, then walks out, leaving one shoe behind him.
Get your stuff, let's go. Mr. Wise Guy here is taking it upon himself to go to the gymnasium. I'm sorry to inform you, you're going to be without his services for the rest of the day.
B-O-O-H-O-O.
Everything's a big joke, huh, Bender? The false alarm you pulled Friday. False alarms are really funny, aren't they? What if your home, what if your family, what if your dope was on fire?
Impossible, sir. It's in Johnson's underwear.
Oh, you think he's funny? You think this is cute? You think he's bitching? Is that it? Let me tell you something. Look at him. He's a bum. You want to see something funny? You go visit John Bender in 5 years. You'll see how goddamn funny he is.
Vernon struts over to Bender condescendingly.
What's the matter, John? You gonna cry?
Bender turns away.
Let's go.
Hey, keep your fucking hands off me! I expect better manners from you, dick. For better hallway vision.
Bender marches out. Brian and the girl in black watch in shock. Bender pushes everything off the reception desk in self-conscious anger, then slams the door on Vernon.
That's the last time, Bender. That's the last time you ever make me look bad in front of those kids. Do you hear me? I make $31,000 a year, and I've got a home, and I'm not about to throw it away on some punk like you. But someday, man, someday, when you're out of here and you've forgotten all about this place, and they've forgotten all about you, and you're wrapped up in your own pathetic life, I'm gonna be there. That's right. And I'm gonna kick the living shit out of you, man. I'm gonna knock your dick in the dirt.
Bender, enraged, looks up.
You threatening me?
What are you gonna do about it? You think anybody's gonna believe you? You think anybody is gonna take your word over mine? I'm a man of respect around here. They love me around here. I'm a swell guy. You're a lying sack of shit, and everybody knows it. Oh, you're a real tough guy. Hey, hey, come on, come on. Get on your feet, pal. Let's find out how tough you are. I wanna know right now how tough you are. Come on, I'll give you the first punch. Let's go. Come on, right here. Just take the first shot, please. And I'm begging you, take a shot right here. Come on. Just take one shot. That's all I need. Just one swing.
Vernon offers Bender his chin threateningly, but Bender backs away, shocked and stunned. Vernon feigns a punch, and Bender flinches.
That's what I thought. You're a gutless turd.
Vernon leaves Bender in the supplies closet alone. Bender appears shaken. Vernon goes into the bathroom to use the toilet. Bender has used boxes and chairs to climb up to the air vent and is now carefully crawling through it.
Naked blonde walks into a bar with a poodle under one arm and a 2-foot salami under the other. She lays the poodle on the table. Bartender says, I suppose you won't be needing a drink. naked lady says.
Oh, shit! Bender falls through the roof. He stumbles into the library casually.
Forgot my pencil.
Everyone looks at him disbelievingly.
God damn it!
Vernon enters. Bender hides beneath the table.
What in God's name is going on in here?
They all shrug.
What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it. What is this? What is that? What is that? What is that noise?
What noise?
Really, sir, there wasn't any noise. That noise? Was that the noise that you're talking about?
No, it wasn't. That was not the noise I was talking about. Now, I may not have caught you in the act this time, but you can bet I will. You make book on that, Missy. And you, I will not be made a fool of.
Vernon leaves, revealing toilet paper comically stuck in the back of his trousers. Claire smacks Bender, who, whilst under the table, looked up her skirt.
It was an accident.
You're an asshole.
Sue me.
Bender walks away and over to Brian.
So, Ahab, kaip all my doobage?
Brian searches inside his trousers for Bender's weed and gives it back to him.
Yo, wastoid. You're not gonna blaze up in here.
Bender walks off. Claire turns to watch him leave, then turns back and sits silently in shock. She looks at Andrew, who shakes his head meaningfully at her. She thinks for a moment, then gets up to follow Bender. Brian looks on, then motions to Andrew. Andrew mouths, "I'm not going," silently in reply. Brian slowly looks round, then gets up decisively and follows Claire. He notices his trousers are still undone, and he zips them up quickly as he runs off. The girl in black watches Andrew huffily sit alone.
Shit.
Andrew finally gets up and goes to the others. The girl in black watches. Meanwhile, Vernon takes the stairs down to the basement. Brian smiles gawkily while wearing a pair of sunglasses. He cracks up laughing, clearly high. Bender sparks a match with his teeth and lights a spliff for Claire with it. She inhales inexpertly. Bender grins. She takes another curious toke. Brian is smoking too. He tries to eat the smoke he is blowing.
Chicks cannot hold their smoke. That's what it is.
Bender laughs again.
Do you know how popular I am? I'm so popular. Everybody loves me so much at this school.
Poor baby.
She takes a toke on the spliff. The girl in black looks on uncertainly. Brian holds his hand out to Bender, who smacks it, pushing Brian head over heels off the chair. Andrew appears from a room thick with smoke, himself puffing a joint. Claire, Bender, and Brian turn to see him. He takes off his hoodie and does cartwheels and forward rolls along the floor. He dances crazily. Then he removes his shirt and stands in his vest, miming a wrestling match in front of the others. He continues his weed-fueled acrobatics and dance moves as the others watch in fits of laughter. Andrew continues to strut around, then returns to the room from where he came, smashing the glass with his scream as if he were a superhero. The girl in black is still just watching. Next, Vernon in the basement reading some files.
Mr. Tierney. A history of slight mental illness. No wonder he's so fucked up.
Afternoon, Dick.
Hey, Carl. How you doing?
Good.
Good. What's up?
Not much. Mm-hmm. What's happening? What are you doing in the basement files?
Oh, nothing. Nothing here. I'm just doing a little homework here.
Homework, huh?
Yeah.
Confidential files.
Huh? Well, look, Carl, this is a highly sensitive area, and I tell you something. Certain people would be very, very embarrassed. I would really appreciate it if this would be something that you and I could keep between us.
What are you gonna do for me, man?
What would you like?
Got $50?
What?
$50. No, man. No, you got a middle name? Yeah, I guess.
Your middle name is Ralph, as in puke. Your birth date's March 12th, you're 5'9 and a half, you weigh 130 pounds, and your social security number is 049-380913.
Wow. Are you psychic?
No.
Would you mind telling me how you know all this about me?
She looks in her bag purposefully.
I stole your wallet.
Give it to me.
No.
Give it.
She hands it back.
This is great. You're a thief, too, huh?
I'm not a thief.
Multi-talented.
Sort to steal. $2 and a beaver shot.
What?
He's got a nudie picture in there. I saw it. It's perverted.
All right, let's see it.
Bender is brushing his teeth while Claire is looking through some pictures. She looks up at Bender.
Are all these your girlfriends?
Some of them.
What about the others?
Well, some I consider my girlfriends, and some I just consider.
Consider what?
Whether or not I want to hang out with them.
You don't believe in just one guy, one girl?
Do you?
Yeah. That's the way it should be.
Well, not for me.
Why not?
How come you got so much shit in your purse?
How come you have so many girlfriends?
I asked you first.
I don't know. I guess I never throw anything away.
Neither do I.
Oh.
This is the worst fake ID I've ever seen. You realize you made yourself 68?
I know. I goofed it.
What do you need a fake ID for?
So I can vote.
You want to see what's in my bag?
No.
She turns, then self-consciously empties her bag onto the sofa in front of Andrew and Brian. They look at the debris, astonished.
Holy shit. What is all that stuff?
Do you always carry this much shit in your bag?
Yeah. I always carry this much shit in my bag. You never know when you may have to jam.
Are you gonna be like a shopping bag lady? You know, like, sit in alleyways and, like, talk to buildings and wear men's shoes and that kind of thing?
I'll do what I have to do.
Why do you have to do anything?
My home life is unsatisfying.
So you're saying you'd subject yourself to the violent dangers of these Chicago streets because your home life is unsatisfying?
I don't have to run away and live in the street. I can run away and I can go to the ocean, I can go to the country, I can go to the mountains, I could go to Israel, Africa, Afghanistan.
She suddenly checks herself and looks awkward. Brian leans towards Andrew.
Andy, you want to get in on this? Allison here says she wants to run away because her home life is unsatisfying.
Well, everyone's home life is unsatisfying. And if it wasn't, people would live with their parents forever.
Yeah, I understand. But I think hers goes beyond what, you know, guys like you and me consider normal, unsatisfying.
Never mind, forget it. Everything's cool.
What's the deal?
No. There's no deal, sporto. Forget it. Leave me alone.
Wait a minute. Now you're carrying all that crap around in your purse. Either you really want to run away, or you want people to think you want to run away.
Eat shit.
The girl is an island unto herself, okay?
Andrew follows Allison while Brian rummages through the debris of her bag. Andrew approaches Allison, who is leaning on a book rack.
Hi. You want to talk?
No.
Why not?
Go away.
Where do you want me to go?
Go away!
He holds her gaze intensely, then walks off.
You have problems.
Oh, I have problems.
You do everything everybody ever tells you to do. That is a problem.
Okay, fine. But I didn't dump my purse out on the couch and invite people into my problems. Did I?
He walks towards her, looking her in the eye.
So what's wrong? What is it?
She looks blankly at him.
Is it bad? Real bad? Parents?
She looks down, still silent. Andrew rests himself adjacent to her on a book rack. He looks solemn. Allison gazes at him.
Yeah.
Andrew nods with sincerity and understanding. He turns to her.
What did they do to you?
Andrew nods again. They both have tears in their eyes. Next, Vernon and Carl share a drink.
What did you want to be when you were young?
When I was a kid, I wanted to be John Lennon.
Carl, don't be a goof. I'm trying to make a serious point here. Carl, I've been teaching for 22 years. And each year, these kids get more and more arrogant.
Oh, bullshit, man. Come on, Vern. The kids haven't changed. You have. You took a teaching position because you thought it'd be fun, right? Thought you could have summer vacations off. And then you found out it was actually work. That really bummed you out.
These kids turned on me. They think I'm a big fucking joke.
Come on. Listen, Vern, if you were 16, what would you think of you, huh?
Hey, Carl, you think I give one rat's ass what these kids think of me?
Yes, I do.
You think about this. When you get old, these kids, when I get old, they're going to be running the country.
Yeah?
Now, this is the thought that wakes me up in the middle of the night. That when I get older, these kids are going to take care of me.
I wouldn't count on it.
Vernon considers. Next, all the kids are sitting on the floor together.
What would I do for $1 million? I guess that I'd do as little as I had to.
That's boring.
Well, how am I supposed to answer?
The idea is to, like, search your mind for the absolute limit. Like, would you drive to school naked?
would I have to get out of the car?
Of course.
In the spring or winter?
Doesn't matter. Spring.
In front of the school or in back of the school?
Either one.
Yes.
I'd do that. I'll do anything sexual. I don't need $1 million to do it either.
You're lying.
I already have. I've done just about everything there is except a few things that are illegal. I'm a nymphomaniac.
Lie.
Are your parents aware of this?
The only person I told was my shrink.
What did he do when you told him?
He nailed me.
The others look shocked.
Very nice.
I don't think that from a legal standpoint, what he did can be construed as rape since I paid him.
He's an adult.
Yeah. He's married, too.
Oh! Do you have any idea how completely gross that is?
Well, the first few times.
The first few times? You mean he did it more than once?
Sure.
Are you crazy?
Obviously, she's crazy if she's screwing a shrink.
Have you ever done it?
Claire haughtily dismisses Allison.
I don't even have a psychiatrist. Have you ever done it with a normal person? Didn't we already cover this?
You never answered the question.
Look, I'm not going to discuss my private life with total strangers.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
A what?
Well, if you say you haven't, you're a prude. If you say you have, you're a slut. It's a trap. You want to, but you can't. Then when you do, you wish you didn't, right?
Wrong.
Or are you a tease?
She's a tease.
I'm sure. Why don't you just forget it?
Oh, you're a tease and you know it. All girls are teases.
She's only a tease if what she does gets you hot.
I don't do anything.
That's why you're a tease.
Okay, let me ask you a few questions.
I already told you everything.
No, doesn't it bother you to sleep around without being in love? I mean, don't you want any respect?
I don't screw to get respect. That's the difference between you and me.
It's not the only difference, I hope.
Face it, you're a tease.
I'm not a tease.
Sure you are. Sex is your weapon. You said it yourself. You use it to get respect.
No, I never said that. She twisted my words around.
What do you use it for, then?
I don't use it, period.
Oh, are you medically frigid or is it psychological?
I didn't mean it that way. You guys are putting words into my mouth.
Well, if you just answer the question.
Why don't you just answer the question?
Be honest.
No big deal.
Yeah, answer it.
Just answer the question, Claire.
Talk to us.
Come on,
answer the question. Don't be a jerk. It's easy. It's only one question.
No! I never did it!
Bender looks vindicated.
I never did it either. I'm not a nymphomaniac. I'm a compulsive liar.
You are such a bitch. You did that on purpose just to fuck me over.
I would do it, though. If you love someone, it's okay.
Can't believe you. You're so weird. You don't say anything all day, and then when you open your mouth, you unload all these tremendous lies all over me.
You're just pissed off because she got you to admit something you didn't want to admit to.
Okay, fine, but that doesn't make it any less bizarre.
What's bizarre? I mean, we're all pretty bizarre. Some of us are just better at hiding it, that's all.
Oh, are you bizarre?
He can't think for himself.
Andrew nods.
She's right. Do you guys know what I did to get in here?
They shake their heads.
I taped Larry Lester's buns together.
That was you?
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Well, they know how hairy he is, right? Well, when they pulled the tape off, most of his hair came off and some skin, too.
Oh, my God.
And the bizarre thing is that I did it for my old man. I tortured this poor kid because I wanted him to think that I was cool. He's always going off about, you know, when he was in school, all the wild things he used to do. And I got the feeling that he was disappointed that I never cut loose on anyone, right? So I'm sitting in the locker room and I'm taping up my knee and Larry's undressing a couple lockers down from me. And he's kind of skinny, weak. And I started thinking about my father and his attitudes about weakness. And the next thing I knew, I jumped on top of him and started wailing on him. And my friends, they just laughed and cheered me on. And afterwards, when I was sitting in Vernon's office, all I could think about was Larry's father and Larry having to go home and explain what happened to him. And the humiliation, fucking humiliation he must have felt. It must have been unreal. I mean, how do you apologize for something like that?
There's no way. It's all because of me and my old man. God, I fucking hate him. He's like this mindless machine that I can't even relate to anymore. Andrew, you've got to be number one! I won't tolerate any losers in this family. Your intensity is for shit! Win! 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 You son of a bitch. You know, sometimes I wish my knee would give. And I wouldn't be able to wrestle anymore. And he could forget all about me.
I think your old man and my old man should get together and go bowling.
Brian takes his head out of his hands and looks up somberly.
It's like me, you know, like with my grades. Like when I step outside myself, kind of, and like when I look in at myself, you know. And I see me. I don't like what I see. I really don't.
What's wrong with you? Why don't you like yourself?
Sounds stupid, but... because I'm failing shop. Yeah, we had this assignment, you know, to make this, like a ceramic elephant. And, we had 8 weeks to do it. And then, you know, we're supposed to... it was like a lamp. And when, you know, when you pull the trunk, the light was supposed to go on. You know, but my light didn't go on. I got an F on it. I've never gotten an F in my life. When I signed up, you know, for the course, I mean, I thought I was playing it real smart, you know, because I thought, you know, I'll take shop. It'd be such an easy way to maintain my grade point average.
Why'd you think it'd be easy?
Brian looks at Bender.
Have you seen some of the dopes that take shop?
I take shop. You must be a fucking idiot.
I'm a fucking idiot because I can't make a lamp?
No, you're a genius because you can't make a lamp.
What do you know about trigonometry?
I could care less about trigonometry.
Bender, did you know without trigonometry there'd be no engineering?
Without lamps, there'd be no light.
Okay, so neither one of you is any better than the other one. I can write with my toes. I can also eat, brush my teeth with your feet, play Heart and Soul on the piano.
I can make spaghetti.
What can you do?
I can, tape all of your buns together.
I want to see what Claire can do.
I can't do anything.
No, everybody can do something.
There's one thing I can do. No, forget it. It's way too embarrassing.
You ever seen Wild Kingdom? I mean, that guy's been doing that show for 30 years.
Okay. You have to swear to God you won't laugh.
Bender crosses himself.
Okay. Can't believe I'm actually doing this.
Claire puts a tube of lipstick between her breasts, much to Brian and Andrew's interest. She bends her face down to it, moves it around a little, then reappears with smiling, glossy lips.
Hey. All right. That's great. What'd you learn to do that?
Camp, 7th grade.
Claire looks suddenly worried by Bender's patronizing claps.
That was great, Claire. My image of you is totally blown.
You're a shit. Don't do that to her. You swore to God you wouldn't laugh.
Am I laughing?
You fucking prick.
What do you care what I think anyway? I don't even count, right? I could disappear forever and it wouldn't make any difference. I may as well not even exist at this school, remember?
He turns back to Claire.
And you don't like me anyway.
You know, I have just as many feelings as you do, and it hurts just as much when somebody steps all over them.
God, you're so pathetic. Don't you ever, ever compare yourself to me, okay? You got everything, and I got shit. Fucking Rapunzel, right? School would probably fucking shut down if you didn't show up. Queenie isn't here. I like those earrings, Claire.
Shut up.
Are those real diamonds, Claire?
Shut up.
I bet they are. Did you work for the money?
Shut
for those earrings?
Your mouth.
Or did your daddy buy those for
Shut
you?
Up!
I bet he bought those for you. I bet those were a Christmas gift. Right? You know what I got for Christmas this year? It was a banner fucking year at the old Bender family. I got a carton of cigarettes. The old man grabbed me and said, hey, smoke up, Johnny! Okay, so go home and cry to your daddy. Don't cry here, okay?
Claire is embarrassedly crying while Allison and Brian look on, speechless with shock. Andrew looks up.
My God, are we going to be like our parents?
Not me.
Bender turns to Claire pointedly.
Ever.
He nods.
It's unavoidable. Just happens.
What happens?
When you grow up, your heart dies.
Who cares?
I care.
I was just thinking, I mean, I know it's kind of a weird time, but I was just wondering, what is going to happen to us on Monday when we're all together again? I mean, I consider you guys my friends. I'm not wrong, am I?
No.
So on Monday, what happens?
Are we still friends, you mean? We're friends now, that is?
Yeah.
Do you want the truth?
Yeah, I want the truth.
I don't think so.
With all of us or just John?
With all of you.
That's a real nice attitude, Claire.
Oh, be honest, Andy. If Brian came walking up to you in the hall on Monday, what would you do? I mean, picture this. You're there with all the sports. I know exactly what you'd do. You'd say hi to him, and when he left, you'd cut him all up so your friends wouldn't think that you really liked him.
No way.
Okay. What if I came up to you?
Same exact thing.
You are a bitch!
Why? Because I'm telling the truth? That makes me a bitch?
No, because you know how shitty that is to do to someone. And you don't got the balls to stand up to your friends and tell them that you're going to like who you want to like.
Okay, what about you, you hypocrite? Why don't you take Allison to one of your heavy metal vomit parties? Or take Brian out to the parking lot at lunch and get high? Or what about Andy, for that matter? What about me? What would your friends say if we were walking down the hall together? They'd laugh their asses off, and you'd probably tell them that you were doing it with me so they'd forgive you for being seen with me.
Don't you ever talk about my friends. You don't know any of my friends, you don't look at any of my friends, and you certainly wouldn't condescend to speak to any of my friends, so you just stick to the things that you know. Shopping, nail polish, your father's BMW, and your poor, rich, drunk mother in the Caribbean.
Shut up!
And as far as being concerned about what's going to happen when you and I walk down the hallways of school, you can forget it, because it's never going to happen. Just bury your head in the sand and wait for your fucking prom.
I hate you.
Yeah? Good.
Allison watches with interest, while Brian awkwardly rubs his nose.
Then I assume Alice and I are better people than you guys, huh? Us weirdos. Would you do that to me?
I don't have any friends.
Well, if you did.
No. I don't think the kind of friends I'd have would mind.
I just want to tell each of you that I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. And I will not. Because I think that's real shitty.
Your friends wouldn't mind because they look up to us.
You're so conceited, Clint. You're so conceited. You're like full of yourself. Why are you like that?
I'm not saying that to be conceited. I hate it. I hate having to go along with everything my friends say.
Then why do you do it?
I don't know. I don't... You don't understand. You don't... You're not friends with the same kind of people that Annie and I are friends with. You know, you just don't understand the pressure that they can put on you.
I don't understand what? You think I don't understand pressure, Claire? Well, fuck you! Fuck you!
He wipes his tears away with his sleeve. For once, Bender appears shocked.
You know why I'm here today? Do you?
They stare, motionless.
I'm here because Mr. Ryan found a gun in the locker.
Claire and Bender look dumbstruck.
Why'd you have a gun in your locker?
I tried. When you pull the fucking trunk on, it's the light's supposed to go on. It didn't go on, I mean.
What's the gun for, Brian?
Just forget it.
You brought it up, man.
I can't have an F. I can't have it. I know my parents can have it. Even if I ace the rest of the semester, I'm still only a B. Everything's ruined for me.
Brian.
He punches a chair, then sits with his head in his hands.
Considering my options, you know?
No, killing yourself is not an option.
Well, I didn't do it, did I? No, I don't think so.
It was a handgun?
No, it was a flare gun. It went off in my locker. It's not funny.
Andrew is already in stitches. Then Allison and Bender join in. Brian begins to smile too.
Yes, it is. Fucking elephant was destroyed.
You want to know what I did to get in here?
Andrew smiles encouragingly.
Nothing. I didn't have anything better to do.
Everyone cracks up once again.
You're laughing at me.
No!
Yeah, you are.
Brian is fiddling with a radio. Allison dances with abandon to the music, throwing her arms in the air, moving round in circles with her hair covering her face. Claire is dancing on the spot on the staircase, pumping her arms and legs. Andrew is drumming on his knees with concentration. Bender is on top of the statue, throwing his head back and forth. They all continue to dance, jumping back and forth, flailing their arms and rocking their heads. Andrew is now playing air guitar. Along a ledge, Bender and Allison shuffle across in time to the music. Then Bender, Brian, and Andrew dance across it. Now Claire and Allison wiggle up and down. Bender is dancing maniacally, and Allison is doing the same, until she gets onto her knees and ends up in a heap on the floor. Now Bender is back in the air vent, crawling carefully on hands and knees. The others sit together reflectively.
Brian? Are you gonna write your paper?
Yeah, why?
Well, it's kind of a waste for all of us to write our paper, don't you think?
Oh, well, that's what Vernon wants us to do.
True, but I think we'd all kind of say the same thing.
You just don't want to write your paper, right?
True, but you're the smartest, right?
Well.
We trust you.
Brian looks to Andrew and Allison for affirmation.
Yeah. All right. I'll do it.
Great.
Slowly, Claire turns and stares intently at Allison. Allison stares back, confused. Eventually, Claire's face breaks into a smile.
Come on. Where are we going? Come on.
Allison follows her.
Don't be afraid. Don't stick that in my eye. I'm not sticking, just close it. No, wait, just go like that.
Claire is giving Allison a makeover.
You know, you really do look a lot better without all that black shit on your eyes.
Hey, I like that black shit. This looks a lot better. Look up.
Meanwhile, Brian is pondering over what to write.
Please. Why are you being so nice to me? Because you're letting me?
Brian is now writing steadily, while Andrew is sitting alone, fiddling with his pendant. Bender is back in the room Vernon put him in, when suddenly the door opens. It is Claire.
You lost?
Claire merely keeps looking at Bender. He slowly smiles, but tries to hide it. Claire also begins to smile. Brian and Andrew, meanwhile, are still in the library. Andrew looks up slowly, stunned. He has seen Allison, who, after her makeover, is dressed in white with a white ribbon in her tied back hair. She approaches Andrew with the same uncertain air. He gets up earnestly. Brian looks up and is also shocked at Allison's change. He smiles with open admiration. She looks at him as if to say, "Anyone can do it." Now Claire is gently kissing Bender on the neck. Shocked, he looks her in the face.
Why'd you do that?
Cindy, you wouldn't.
You know how you said before how your parents use you to get back at each other? Wouldn't I be outstanding in that capacity?
She gazes at him.
Were you really disgusted about what I did with my lipstick?
Truth?
Truth.
No.
Brian has finally finished the essay. He kisses it triumphantly. Next, Andrew and Allison.
What happened to you?
Why? Claire did it. What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. It's just so different. I can see your face.
Is that good or bad?
Allison smiles self-consciously, then realizing Andrew is serious, broadly. Next, everyone is walking through the corridor where they see Carl, the janitor. Brian waves.
See Brian?
Yeah, Carl.
Bender smiles at Carl.
See you next Saturday.
You bet.
Carl watches them leave with a smile. Outside, Brian approaches a red car driven by his father and gets in. Allison and Andrew share a kiss. She is wearing his blue hoodie. Giving me everything inside and out. Love strange, so real in the dark. She cheekily tears a patch off his jacket, grins, then backs off to her ride, all the while staring at Andrew. Andrew's father pulls up and checks out Allison. Andrew gets in and he drives off. Claire puts one of her earrings in Bender's hand and closes it again affectionately. They lean in slowly to kiss tenderly. Then Claire goes to get into her father's car, which pulls off immediately. Bender watches her go, carefully puts the earring into his ear, then slowly leaves. Next, Vernon reads the essay in the empty library.
Dear Mr. Vernon, we accept the fact that we had to sacrifice a whole Saturday in detention for whatever it was we did wrong. But we think you're crazy to make us write an essay telling you who we think we are.
and you see us as you want to see us. In the simplest terms, with the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a brain.
And an athlete.
And a basket case. A princess.
And a criminal.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Breakfast Club.
Crossing the school sports field alone, Bender triumphantly raises his fist. The end. Forget it.